If you can't cry in church, I don't know where you can cry. Blessed are those who mourn, says Jesus, for they shall be comforted. Likely you can think of a lot of things that make you sad. I will mention two. One, we mourn because of our sin. The baptized desire to keep and even love God's law. Christians will say they have no problem with the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are good. We want to do the right thing, but it can seem the harder we try not to sin, the more inflamed our desire to sin becomes. We do things that we despise while wishing for the temptation to go away, and we long for complete holiness without sinful bodies. The baptized believer mourns because they realize their sinfulness. Even as they try to change and remedy their life, the sins keep showing up. Temptation's always there. In the Beatitudes, Jesus addresses this. He says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." For all of you out there who are weary and you're tired of the battle with sin, take heart. Your hunger and your thirst for total, complete righteousness, it will be satisfied. The beloved children of God, they are destined to bask in the glorious presence of the King, not having to worry about sinful bodies as they dwell in the presence of the Lamb, with flesh cleansed of sin, pure, holy, and without blemish. It's God's promise. And that is God's gift to you through Christ, by whom we have His undeserved mercy, love, forgiveness, and access to eternal life. Wrestling with sins, that's one thing that causes us to mourn. But today we celebrate All Saints Day, and we remember those saints who have passed from this life into eternal glory. And that's another reason that even Christians get sad. We miss our loved ones, and we want to see them again. Death might be the one wound that time doesn't completely heal in this life. For even those loved ones who left us long ago, their memories still hang in our minds, and it doesn't take much to mourn for them. Even mothers who had miscarriages years ago, they still think about their child and wonder what that child would have been like had they grown into adulthood. Children whose parents died years ago, they still think about their parents. They may not shed as many tears, but the grief is still there. Now, some would say, if a Christian mourns, you lack faith. Friends, that's not an accurate statement. Not only does Jesus say, "Blessed are those who mourn," but at the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus weeps. It's not because he didn't have faith in God. It's because God hates death. The Christian weeps because the Christian despises death. The Christian possesses the Holy Spirit and has the clarity of thought to see and understand that the world how it is today is not how it was before the fall, before sin comes onto the stage. When sin comes, then comes death. Sin kills, and it has done so since our very first parents. But friends, Jesus sees your tears. The psalmist says Jesus, God collects them in a bottle. He knows why they fall. And he says unto you, "Blessed, blessed are those who mourn. They shall be comforted." Friends, one day your tears will dry up. Why? Because God says so. God promises to wipe every tear away from your eyes. Today in Revelation, we get a glimpse into heaven. And in this vision that was given to John, we see all the saints from every tribe, every nation. And it is a number It cannot be counted, so great it is. And their robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, while they forever sing praises to the God of their salvation. Heaven is about Christ. Heaven is about the Lamb slain for our justification. And it means being in the presence of the King and all of His subjects, all of His children, all the saints brought into His kingdom, having passed on from death into life eternal. And this means you will see those loved ones who died in the faith again. That phrase, communion of saints, that is there in the Apostles' Creed, we will realize that one day. The communion of all the saints will be experienced when God takes you to be with Himself into the life He has prepared for you, where there will be no fear, no scorching heat, even no tears. These promises that I'm talking about here, they vex the devil greatly because they are the reason. They are the reason that Christians believe and trust in the Lord of glory. We long for eternal life and sins put away, and that is the Christian message that is unlike any other message throughout the world. Because the Christian message, the gospel, is not God telling you to compile a bunch of works and offer these works to Him in order to merit salvation. That's not the gospel. Rather, the gospel is the message telling us everything that God has done for you. It is the message that brings to you forgiveness and mercy, salvation that is yours through Jesus Christ and His work. I recognize that believing in that message is difficult. Believing in all these glorious promises and taking God at His word is hard because the sinful flesh clings to us in this life. That's a point I made at the beginning of this sermon. And it would be great if our faith was unhindered by sinful doubt. And so, never tire of praying to God for strength. Don't grow weary of asking Him for guidance. And let us pray that God keeps us faithful, steadfast in His love and His grace, always hearing His word that reminds us of the promises we have to look forward to and the gifts that we have right now. Our flesh gives us trouble, but so does the world. The world sees death differently than the Christian. For the world, death is a solution, a viable solution to a problem, either for the unwanted baby, the terminally ill, or the aged. Abortion, euthanasia are glorified remedies for unwanted people. Death is the answer to those who can no longer contribute to society. That is the way the world thinks. That is the way a mind polluted by sin without the Holy Spirit thinks. Death is a good thing. Death is a solution. Death is the answer. Now, it is the task of the church to speak out against such evil, for we know that death is the wage of sin. Death is no cure, but a product of sin, a consequence of sin. Persecution will come for this, as Christ warns. Standing up for life in the name of Jesus, you'll probably be reviled and persecuted, but friends, that need not frighten you. Because for all those who confess Jesus in the face of evil, they are called blessed by the Lord. For all those who stand up and say, no, abortion is evil, euthanasia is evil. Human life deserves our love because human life is a creation of God who has fashioned us with His hands. For those who stand up for that, persecution will come, as Christ our Lord tells us. But for those who utter such things, for those who confess and speak on behalf of Jesus, God calls you blessed. He calls you blessed. And friends, to be blessed, to be blessed by God, means to be forgiven, accepted. It means you belong to God through Christ. That's what it means to be blessed. It means you belong to Jesus. Death isn't the answer. Even if we realize as Christians, death is the gateway into something far better, something our minds cannot fully comprehend, a light that is promised by God, who's good to his every last word. You will see your loved ones again, who have died baptized and faithful unto Christ. But there's even more to it than this. While we wait for the realization of that promise, your God is not absent. But even now, God comforts you, nourishes you, and promises to sustain you. He does that by the hearing of his holy word. And also, even now, friends, we can go so far as to say we commune with the saints. What do I mean by that? What I mean is this. When you come to this table, to this meal, you will take a piece of bread and a sip of wine. And your reason will say it's just a little snack tying you over to lunch. Or to put a little better construction on it, maybe it's a meal that only reminds you of who Jesus is. That's what reason will say. It's not what Jesus says. Whenever the pastor utters those words of institution, they are called, he is uttering the words of Christ, who says, "This is my body. This is my blood." That means that Christ is present in this meal. And if Christ is present and Christ is the head of the church, then where Christ is, there is his church. Where the head is, there is the body. Where the king is, there is his kingdom. And so when you dine with Christ, you are dining already with the saints. And that is why, friends, this meal is called a foretaste of the feast to come. We feast now with Christ as we look forward to the marriage feast of the Lamb, where we will dine with Jesus and all the saints who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that brings me to my final point. Your tears will dry, and you will see your sainted loved ones again, not because of our good works or anything like that, but because you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Again, in the great book of Revelation, we hear the saints are there because they have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. What Jesus has done on the cross for you and I, it affects you for all eternity. Because by that act, by his work, sins are put away. Our filthy garments are made white, made pure by his blood. And for the sake of Jesus and what he has accomplished, our sins are not held against us. We are heirs right now to a sainted life with God. Your tears, they will dry because God promises to wipe them away. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.